this week, I want to talk to you a little bit about some things the Lord's been doing in my life over the summer, and they have some implications for us as a church family. And so I've been sharing these with the elders as they've been going along, and now I want to share them with you. And I told Brenda this summer, I said, you know, my wife, I said, you know, it's almost as though I've been having like a mini revival in my own heart this summer, which is good. But as you know, when you have a revival, everything's not always peaches and cream. Sometimes God says, hey, we need to make some changes over here and some changes over there. And so as I was praying this summer, one of the things the Lord really spoke to me about is that I need to become a more bold spiritual leader here at McLean Bible Church. And so I began praying, Lord, what are those areas where you want me to be bolder and you want our church to be bolder? Where are these places that you want me to be bold in leading our church family? And so I want to tell you about them today, and I think you're going to be very excited when you hear the things I'm going to tell you about. Now, just to put your mind at ease, let me say at the beginning, no one is going to change any of the great things that we're doing. Kids Quest, The Rock, Access Ministry, Awana, Daybreak. If anything, we're going to try to make them better. So just calm down. Nobody's messing with that. And also, we're not changing our mission statement. I want you to say it with me. What is our mission? Say it with me. To make an evangelistic impact on Metro Washington with the message of Jesus Christ. That stays the same. But the Lord's been showing me five areas where we need to make some adjustments in order to be more effective in actually carrying out the mission that He's given us. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. And I want these five things to become the new normal, if you will, around this church. I don't see these as suggestions that the Lord made saying, hey, Lon, if you in McLean Bible Church feel like doing this, that'd be nice. You know, no. I see these as areas of obedience that the Lord is calling us to that we need with everything we've got in us to say, yes, Lord, we will do these as unto Christ. So, we all ready? All right. Five things. Here we go. Number one, prayer. I believe that the new normal around McLean Bible Church is that we need to become a praying church in a way that we have never been before. Now, I know that many of you are serious prayers in your own personal life, but I'm talking about us corporately praying together, seeking the Lord together as a church family on our knees together. I went through the Bible, and I counted that in the New Testament, prayer or a related word is used 104 times, and it's used over 200 times in the Bible as a whole. Friends, God does not repeat for filler. The reason prayer appears so often in the Bible is because prayer is critical in any work of God. Now, I wrote you an email about this earlier in the summer. And there's a copy of that email in your bulletin, just in case you didn't get it. I'd like you to reread it, even if you did get it. But if you didn't get that email, can I tell you why? It's because you're not on our email list. And if you're not on our email list, do me a favor, take the front cover of our bulletin and give us your name and your contact information and say, put me on the email list, hand it in, and we'll send these to you and you'll get them. But here's part of what I said. I said prayer is the engine that drives everything. It's where we fall back in love with Jesus afresh every day. It's where we're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's where the power for God's work here on earth comes from. A prayerless church family is a powerless church family. And folks, this is why we've started prayer gatherings before every service at every campus. Spurgeon, the great preacher of the London Tabernacle, the first real megachurch in modern history, Charles Spurgeon called this prayer meeting that he had down in the basement of his church before every service the boiler room. Because this is where the power, he said, for the work of the church came from, was from prayer, and he's exactly right. Now, we've been having hundreds of people show up each week at every campus, getting on their knees together and praying, and we're very excited about that. As a matter of fact, here at Tyson's, we're enlarging the prayer room by 3 times its size so that we can fill it and accommodate it with the people that are coming. Friends, these prayer meetings are the new normal at McLean Bible Church, and I want to see every single one of us, I mean you, my friend, in one of these prayer meetings. And I don't care what you have to do. Set the alarm clock for 30 minutes early. That's what I have to do now. You know, put your cereal in the car the night before and munch on it on the way in. I don't care what you got to do, but I want you to get here and be part of these prayer meetings. You need it to get your heart ready on a Sunday. And we need you to be in there for the boiler room power of this church. This is the new normal of McLean Bible Church. We are going to be a praying church. Amen? And by the way, don't forget, we have one time a month, we have a day we set aside for fasting and prayer. That's tomorrow, Monday, September the 8th. If you don't know how to dedicate a day to the Lord in fasting, go check it out online. We've got some guidelines for you, mcleanbible.org/fasting. But we had over 1,200 people back in August fast and pray with us. Can I count on some of you to do that for us and pray for our world tomorrow? Yeah, will you do it? Don't clap. Raise your hand. There you go. All right. Now, if you didn't raise your hand and God convicts you tonight, you can still do it. Okay? But, hey, nothing is greater than when the church is fasting and praying together. That's where power comes from. Number two, God has shown me that we need to have a greater culture of serving our community in the name of Christ. Now, we all know the cynicism that's out there about the church and about Christianity. And folks, the only way that we can break through that cynicism is to sincerely serve people in Jesus' name. Listen, not as a substitute for the gospel, God forbid, but as a way of opening doors for the gospel. You with me? Out of Jill's house, our overnight respite center that you drive by when you come in here, did you know that 90% of the families that we minister to on a monthly basis at Jill's house do not attend McLean Bible Church? As a matter of fact, we're pretty sure most of them don't know the Lord. We have Jewish families, Muslim families, Hindu families, just atheist American families. And listen, we serve them anyway. And we serve their children with disabilities in the hopes that we can get an open door eventually with them to share Christ with them. Those people are not walking into this church, but they will let us serve their children and eventually will ask the question, why? Why are you doing this? And I can't tell you how many scores of parents and children with disabilities we have led to Christ in the 4 years that Jill's house has been open. And how did we get that opportunity? We got it from serving them in the name of Christ and breaking down that wall of cynicism that they have towards the church. And you know, Jill's house is not alone in this. At every campus, we have many people involved in doing this kind of serving ministry in the community. And you say, Solon, what are you asking me? Are you asking me if I'm already involved to do more? No. My goal is not to get the same people to do more. My goal is to get more people to do the same. You with me? All right. This summer, we had Soaring Over 7 Summer Camp, which is our day camp for children with disabilities during the month of July. And if you remember, I was begging with you and pleading with you that we needed volunteers or we weren't going to be able to run the camp. Thank you for so many of you who volunteered. The camp went off. We had plenty of volunteers. Thank you so much. But I figured, hey, I can't ask the people of our church to do something I'm not willing to do. So I came in and volunteered as well. And we'll just show you one picture. This was on our therapeutic riding day where I had this young gentleman that was assigned to me. And also the class that I was in, there were several other, you know, adult workers working with these children. And one of them was a high school young lady named London. And we just got to talking one day, and I said to her, "Hey, London, just out of curiosity, how did you end up here in Soaring Over 7 camp?" She said, "Well, it's real simple. When my family started attending this church," she said, "my mother said to me, now London, whatever church we attend, we serve. So I'm going to find an area of service at McLean Bible Church, and you are going to find an area of service at McLean Bible Church." So she said, I was 15 at the time. I picked Access Ministry, and I worked there on Sundays, on the weekend, and I also work in Soaring Over 7 summer camp. And I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking to myself, God bless that mother. God bless that mother. Can you imagine the impact we could make on Washington, D.C. if every single person in this church did this, if this was normal behavior here at McLean Bible Church? If you attend, you serve. Folks, listen, our goal at McLean Bible Church is 0% unemployment. You with me? And it's not just because that'll help us make a bigger impact on Washington. That's only part of it. It's because this is a matter of obedience to God. Romans 12:11 says, as believers in Jesus, we are to be fervent in spirit. Say the next three words. What? Serving the Lord. Folks, this is not a request from God. It is not a suggestion from God. It is a command from God. And whether you like it or not, I'm just going to give it to you straight. If you are unemployed for God, then you are in disobedience to God. It is just that simple. Now, if you are unemployed, what I want you to do is walk across, if you're here, Tyson's, walk across the hall after the service into the connect room and go, "I'm unemployed. Can y'all give me a job?" Or walk up to the tables that are in the lobby at all of our campuses and say the very same thing. But listen, I'm asking God for even more than 0% unemployment here. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may," what's the next word? "See." "That they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." You know, right now we are known, our church is, throughout the D.C. area, we're known for our Bible teaching. And I'm proud of that. That's great. But I also want us to become known across the D.C. area for our good works. And this is why we've started something called McLean on the Move. You say, what kind of, is that a new program? It's not a program. It's just a name under which we're going to gather all of our service to the community, all of our outreach to the community, our food pantry, our clothing ministry, turkey outreach, Angel Tree, Daybreak. And that's the name by which all of them are going to be known in the Washington area. And by the way, our first real project was backpacks. And I want to thank you guys so much for your participation. Because of you, we were able to give out over 4,000 backpacks to needy children full of school supplies. In fact, even the Connection newspaper, you ought to check the article out in there, came and covered that. And it's a wonderful article about what we were able to do. And yesterday, as part of McLean on the Move, we gave out almost 600 free tickets to under-resourced children. Yeah, I think that's the politically correct word, isn't it? Poor children who couldn't afford to go to the Nats game. And we took him to the Nats game. It was Faith Day, after which several of the players shared their testimonies. Folks, this is what it's all about. I want this name, McLean on the Move, to become a byword all over Washington, D.C., as much as not a sermon, just a thought is, because of our ongoing, visible, conspicuous service to the people of Washington, D.C. And we got a new idea. See what you think of this. It's just an idea, but I think it's a good one. It's a ministry entitled Call Us, where we go to police chiefs and we go to mayors and we go to social workers in school and parent liaisons in school and we go to county boards of supervisors and the fire department and we say, look, if there's a need, a social need, people need something, families need something that you don't have the resources to be able to give them, then say it. Say it again. Call us. Yeah, call us. We may not be able to meet every need, but we'll do the best we can, whether it's blankets, whether it's food, whether it's clothing. You just call us. Friends, I want us to get to the point where every mayor, every police chief, every county board of supervisors in Washington says, you know, if something happened to McLean Bible Church, I don't know how we would meet the needs of our citizens without that church in this town. That's where we got to get to. Amen? How great would that be? And so here at McLean Bible Church, no more putting our light under a bushel. No, no, no. We intend to use the media to our advantage and to call them and say, you need to get over and see what's happening with these backpacks, and you need to get over here with a camera crew and see what's happening at Nats Park, and you need, and why don't you report some good news for a change here in this city? We'll show you some good news. Yeah? Jesus said it. Don't hide it under a bushel. Let people see what you're doing, and that's what we're going to do. But for Jesus' glory, not the glory of McLean Bible Church. Amen? All right. Number three, we need to be a greater culture of equipping believers. Ephesians 4:12 says we must equip God's people for the work of service. Follow my logic now. If the new normal at McLean Bible Church is that everyone is to be serving, then it only makes sense that equipping believers to do the work of service must also be the new normal at this church. Does that make sense to you? Sure it does. And, you know, we got off to a good start with our multiply groups, which don't exist anymore. We changed their names to discipleship groups because we're not doing multiply again. But the new normal, let me just say for you, is if you're not already in a discipleship group, the new normal for you is I want you to get in one. Just walk across the hall here at Tyson's to the Connect Room and say, I need to be in a discipleship group. Or at any of our campuses, walk out into the lobby and just simply say to the people at the table, I need to be in a discipleship group. And why do I want you in a discipleship group? I'll tell you why. Because we want to equip you. We got a lot more equipping coming at you. For example, this fall, we're going to equip you in sharing your faith. In one of the emails that I wrote in August, which you also didn't get if you weren't on our email list, but it's in your bulletin, it's on the other side, read it. Here's what I said. I said, in my 35 years at McLean Bible Church, I have failed to provide comprehensive church-wide training on how we can share our faith. Yes, we had Christianity 301, but not everybody was able to take it. I want to apologize to you, and I mean that sincerely, for failing you in this way. Folks, I would get up here and I would preach and preach and preach and preach about our need to share our faith, but I wasn't providing you any kind of training on how to do it. That was wrong of me, and I want to ask you to forgive me. That was not fair of me. And I go on to say, I feel constrained by God. We're going to fix this. And here's how we're going to fix it, is this fall, in all of our groups, we're going to offer you training in how to share your faith. Now, we're not talking about training and how to go out on the street and hand out tracts. We're talking about how to share your faith in a relational, personal approach. We're going to use a ministry called XEE, a training program. And what this is, it's an updated relational approach to personal evangelism based on Evangelism Explosion. That's the EE. And this was a program developed by Dr. D. James Kennedy at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church back in the 70s. And it is wonderful. Let me tell you what it involves. It involves in your group a short training DVD, 5 minutes, 8 minutes, and then role playing in your small group, practicing sharing your faith, then learning how to handle objections. What if you're sharing the Lord with somebody and they go, "Yeah, but I don't believe there was ever a flood." What do you do with that? Well, we're going to teach you what you do with it. We're going to share with you and teach you about the how-tos of getting into a gospel presentation. How do I get into one? And then how we ask for a decision? And then how do we lead people in a sinner's prayer? And then how do we give people assurance of salvation once they've prayed? And then how do we learn to share our personal testimony in less than 3 minutes? We call that an elevator testimony. You know why? Because you get on the elevator and you go into the 25th floor, you only got 2 minutes to give it to somebody. You don't have time to give them the whole schmear. You got 2 minutes. And that's what we're going to train you. And we're going to practice it in the groups. How can I do my whole testimony in 2 minutes while I'm on the elevator with somebody? This is what we want to train you in. I took this course 40 years ago at Barcroft Bible Church, and it has been one of the most valuable skill training experiences I have ever had in my life. And I promise you, it will be for you. And then next winter, from January to May, we want to take you and our groups through Grounded. Grounded is an adaptation of Christian Businessmen Committee's Operation Timothy, maybe the finest discipleship program ever, been used for decades, and they gave us permission to adapt it for McLean Bible Church use, and we want to take you through it. And after we've taken you through it, you can sit down with any person you lead to Christ, and with that very same material, you can disciple them sitting in Starbucks, God forbid, sitting in Krispy Kreme, wherever you're sitting. You can do it because you've been through it. Everybody with me? Now, equipping believers like this is the new normal around here. And I want you to get excited about this training. I want you to tell your group leaders, we want this training. We want to be involved in this training. And folks, could I just remind you, did you know we disciple children here too? Not just adults. Kids Quest, I believe, is one of the finest children's programs anywhere in America. And we disciple your children in these very same areas. So if you're unemployed, let me just suggest to you, one great place to get employed is right with our children's ministry. We have folks out in the lobby at every campus. Go out there and talk to them. You don't even need to know what you're doing. We'll teach you. You with me? All right. Good. Number four. All right. I've lost you, have I? All right, number four, God has really been speaking to me about partnershipping. You know, this past July, with a few people from McLean Bible, I went down to El Salvador on a short-term missions trip, and I got to tell you, it was life-changing for me. I fell in love with the people of El Salvador, and I fell in love with the pastors there working under the most difficult circumstances. You know, their churches are four posts and a roof, and sometimes not even walls, and sometimes they don't even have a roof. We met one pastor who they can't hold church when it rains because he doesn't have a roof. So we at McLean Bible Church, we paid for the man to have a roof on his church. What do you think? Is that all right? You say, good grief, how much did we pay? $500. $500 is all it took to put a roof on this church. We said, do it. One man meets under a tarp that he stretches between the trees for this little village. We said, how much would it cost to build you a church? He said, $14,000. We said, we'll give it to you. Build yourself a church. He's got hundreds of people coming sitting under a tarp. And man, I tell you, God convicted me of my pride and my ego that I have not been loving and working with these kind of cross-cultural situations here in Washington with the pastors here in this town and the churches in this town. And I came back and said, Lord, this has got to change. I hear you. And so we've been going around, Dale Sutherland and I, and we've been meeting with pastors in this area, African-American pastors, Asian pastors, Ethiopian pastors, and we've been getting on our knees and praying together. Next week, I've got a meeting with Hispanic pastors in the area and Caucasian pastors, and I've been saying to them, God has convicted me of my arrogance and my pride and my self-sufficiency in thinking that McLean Bible Church can go it alone to reach this city. We can't. And one dear African-American pastor said to me in the meeting, he said, yeah, he said, you're kind of known as the Lone Ranger pastor in Washington. And I said, all right, you know what? You're right. I deserve to be called out like that. I do. But I want to ask you to forgive me for that, everybody in the room. And I want to tell you, we need to make a difference. We need to join arms together as brothers in Christ, and we need to go after this city together. And I'd like to report to you that almost to a man, every single pastor so far has said, I'm all in. How great is that? Huh? And we've decided this is not going to be just a short-term partnership. It's going to be an ongoing partnership. We, as the pastors, are going to meet together once a month for prayer on our knees. Our next meeting is Friday the 12th out at Pastor John Jenkins Church in Glen Arden in Prince George's County. We who love the Lord, black pastors, white pastors, Hispanic pastors, Ethiopian pastors, Indian pastors, Asian pastors, we're going to pool our resources together to go after this city for the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, just think of what a message this will send to the people of Washington, especially in light of the events in Missouri recently, to see all of us working together. The message it'll send is that our unity in Jesus is bigger than any of the human differences between us. Amen? And my, oh my, how this world needs to see that message. And so this is part four of the new normal at McLean Bible Church. We are not going to be a Lone Ranger church anymore. We're going to link arms in sincere love with our Christian brothers and sisters in this D.C. area who love Christ, and we are going to work in partnership with them to reach this city for the Lord. Amen? All right, number five, and finally, is God has convicted me that we need to attempt great things for God. Ephesians 3:20 says, God can do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or even imagine. Jeremiah 32 says, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Friends, we've got a big God who has blessed this church with big resources. And we insult him when we don't try to use these resources along with our partner churches in a big way for his glory. We insult God. We're like the guy who buried his talents in the ground. And folks, we've got to face it that we are one of the largest churches on the entire East Coast, and we have got to start acting like it in Washington, D.C. Amen? Amen. William Carey said, the great missionary to India, he said, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God, And that's what we are going to do. So along with all of these partners, all of these other pastors, here's the first thing we're going to do. It's only the first, but here's what we're going to do. You ready? On Columbus Day, October the 13th, we have secured a permit for the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And on that day, all of these pastors and all of their churches and us, we are all coming together at the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, 1 o'clock, rain or shine. We're calling it at the Washington Prayer Gathering, and we are going to get on our knees together, and we're going to pray for the city of Washington. And this is the first event of its kind like this, and let me tell you why. Because this is not about some organization or some person coming into town and asking the churches of this town to help them, and then they leave. No, no. This is about us as the Christians who live in this town 365 days a year. It's about us getting together and praying for our city. Those people who come in, this is not their city. This is our city. Amen? And we need to get together and pray for this city. And we're going to do what God tells us to do. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And so together, on our knees, we're going to get down there and we're going to confess our sins and we're going to repent of our sins. And then we're going to pray for our city. And we're not going to pray condemnation on our city. We are going to pray for God's mercy on our city and for the Holy Spirit to fall in massive revival on our city. Amen. And may I say, folks, this is not a political event. This is a spiritual event. And so, on October 13th, it's going to be an awesome day. All of these churches and all of these pastors being down there. And traffic is light that day, which is why we picked it. Your children are off from school that day, which is why we picked it. Bring your children with you. Let them see Christians getting on their knees and praying the way God said. And so on October 13th, I don't want to see a single one of us in this church home at 1 p.m. Either I want you playing in the Jill's House Golf Tournament where we're raising money to serve people the way we need to serve people, or else I want you and your family down on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And I'm going to call your house to see if you're there. Now, I'm not going to do that. But I want you there, folks. Wow, what an awesome day this is going to be. We're going to call the media. And we're going to say, you need to get here. You need to see what's happening with the Christians in this town. You need to see something positive and right and good and holy that's going on in this town. You with me? Yeah. Hey, it's time we start using the media for our benefit, instead of just letting them sit back there and throw hand grenades at us all the time. Now, you say, man, how in the world are you going to advertise this? Well, we're not. Not going to spend a dollar on radio, television, newspapers. You know why? You're going to advertise it. Yeah. I was in Egypt in 2011 when 250,000 people showed up in Tahrir Square. And you know how they got there? Not through, there wasn't an ad on television, wasn't an ad on the radio, there wasn't an ad in the newspaper. Everybody tweeted their friends and said, you need to get here. And everybody then tweeted their next friends and they all came. That's how we're going to advertise this. You are going to be our advertisement. You are going to use Facebook and you're going to tweet your friends and you're going to tell every Christian in Washington you know you need to be at the Lincoln Memorial on Columbus Day with us. Can I count on you guys to do that? Will you do it? All right. We'll give you more information next week. We'll have a print up for you where we'll tell you more about it. But I want us to get excited. This is the kind of stuff we need to be doing for the Lord Jesus Christ in this town. big things that exalt him, that are visible. Why not? Why not? Amen? Why not? Okay. Now, let me close by saying that these five adjustments we've been talking about, I don't want you to think that they're disconnected, knee-jerk kinds of ideas. They're not. All five of them strategically are linked to helping us accomplish our mission. Think about it now. In order to reach this city, number one, we need to have a culture of corporate prayer that brings the power of God down to this earth. Number two, to reach this city, we need to have a deeper culture of serving our community. In order to reach this city, we need to have a culture of equipping believers. In order to reach this city, we need to have a culture of partnershiping with like-minded Bible-believing pastors and churches. And in order to reach this city, we need to have a culture of attempting great things for God and expecting great things from God. Do you see how it all fits in? This is not random stuff. It's all part of doing our mission. And I will say in closing that I shared a little bit of this message with my wife Brenda when I was working on it. I don't always do that, but I did on this one. And I said, what'd you think? What do you think? And she hesitated for a minute, which is always a bad sign. And she said, so I think there's a lot of good things there. She said, but Lon, I have one piece of advice for you. I said, what's that? She said, talk less and do more. Don't you love Brenda? And I want to tell you something. She's right. I'm not going to stand around and talk to you about this anymore. By the grace of God, we're going to go do it. But it's not fair for us to go out and start doing things that we don't first explain to you so you understand what in the world we're doing. Because otherwise you pull your hair out. Go there renting the steps of the memorial. What in the world? What's wrong with these people? Now you understand. So let me close with the words of the Apostle Paul. Pray for us. Pray for us. I believe we're going right where the Lord wants us to go. But friends, if you think the enemy is going to give up this ground easily, you're nuts. If you think he's just going to let us tiptoe through the tulips and do this in Washington, you're crazy. So we need to be much in prayer, much in prayer. And I covet your prayers for us, for our church, that we can really do this for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you pray for us? Will you? Okay, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for speaking to me this summer about these things. I might have taken a summer off from preaching, but I didn't take a summer off from God. And I thank you, Father, for making it clear where you want us to go. I pray, Father, you would help me be a good enough spiritual leader that I can be used by you to take our church family, these places. And Lord, I pray for us as a church family that you would unify us around doing these biblical and godly things that you want us to do. Father, use us in this town and make an impact for Christ through us and our partners in this town. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've shown us where you want us to go. Now give us the courage to go there. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.